Blog Talk Radio.
Again to another show. You are now on Painted Green. This is episode 6. I'm your host, Tony Smith. And thank you guys for listening in tonight. The name of tonight's show is the much anticipated show on Alexander Ocasio-Cortez. The name of the show is the Alexander Ocasio-Cortez Sheepdogging Saga, because everybody finally found out pretty quick that an establishment sheep dog, and we're going to find that out. Now, everybody, Greens were duped by this. Our own Ajamo Baraka was duped by this situation. I'm going to read of the Green Party's preamble. Okay, here's the preamble. Never has our country faced many challenges and crises as we do now. Levels of federal, the lowest they have been since 1950 because of tax cuts and breaks for very rich and for corporations. Government agencies charged with safeguards, public health and safety, and operating with slash budgets. So in other words, the Green Party is the party of the people. Yet we have Ajamo Baraka doing this. One of our affiliates. So let's read here. And they wrote an article, the first ones to actually come out and write the article. And here is the article on that. And then I want you guys to take a listen and see who actually this chick is. But here is the article. Ajamo Baraka pushes Dementor with the Ocasio-Cortez, placebo. My position statement on Ocasio-Cortez. Now, this is June 30th. The Alexander Ocasio-Cortez aspect of the Dementor hash plan has been long in the making. It was a response to the failure of Bernie Sanders' effort at the tour with Tom, installed by Obama Perez, to bring us back to the warm fold of the rigged Democrat Party. Hashtag Dementor is a callous as it is cynical, and it is being pushed by everything from Morning Joe to Vice, and by every to change the incredible disproportionate coverage of this District 14 race in New York tells you all you need to know about it. Also of import is the extremely dishonest presentation of this candidate as just a girl from the Bronx, when in fact she's not from the Bronx. She's from the 8th richest county in the entire country, and she attended an elite high school in a plush leafy, and then went to a near Ivy League school job for her on Capitol Hill when she left there. Girls from the Bronx can both make like that. On Vice, Ocasio-Cortez made it painfully clear that the point of her victory was when she said there is plenty of room for Democrat socialists in the Democrat Party that other day. She did the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, propaganda with Jon Stewart, and then she proceeded to run over to Morning Joe and The View. How many of your congressional nominees got that kind of treat? Not very many, have it. And then this goes on and on, and then it goes into a JAMA and fantastic job. And if you go on my page, you can see all these links. And if you want these links, just let me know. But JAMA Barack said, it is both funny and sad that the left is so beaten down and so far from power that it can't even recognize when it has opportunities to advance its forces. Folks in the battle for ideas, do you not understand the importance of having someone other than Sanders getting people talking about health care as a human right, free education, Palestinian rights? Whatever you may disagree with Ocasio-Cortez on, you still build on the space created, no matter how it might be, to encounter him around the nature of this system. Folks, it is time to grow up. If you need religion and pure church, and step out of the political domain, let those of us trying to build an alternative power do what needs to be done. Is she a Democrat? Sure. So what? Do you think the Democrat Party is just going to implode without internal struggle? Part of the magical some folks engage in, especially when you're not organizing a bill. What's up with that? Ajamo. And then, again, he even goes further. As a target to gate BS, if I can get past Ocasio-Cortez's unfortunate comments on that BS, you know, just like we can't get past Bernie Sanders doing it. And if you did it, Ajama Baraka, you would be under the bus too. We're planning. So if you're not going to just be a green, Brother Ajama, maybe you should go ahead and go Hemet, Ocasio, Cortez, green or nothing, baby. That's what we're playing out here. We want to deal with so-called the struggle. You can deal with that struggle in the Democrat Party. In the Green Party, we're in a real struggle. Now, Ocasio-Cortez, she also went on Meet the Ball Places. They even let her go on Meet the Press, you guys. So I want you guys to listen to that. It's ridiculous with you guys. But let's go ahead and listen to that clip. And then when Baraka backpedaled when all of us ran off about what he did. He was president of the United States. I'm going to take a real good look at that. This is only strike one for Ajama Baraka. He's got two more. David Cobb struck out. Jill Stein, she's got two strikes. One more, she's out of there. And good thing she didn't come out and say anything on this, so she'd be in the doghouse. The grassroots run the Green Party, brothers and sisters. Don't look to Ajama Baraka and Jill Stein and David Cobb and anybody else who want to stand up and be a leader. I'm not standing up and be a leader. I'm standing up for the Green Party in my community as well as the Green Party around the United States. I am not advocating for the National Party to be nothing but a facilitator of what we do on the ground. That's it. So both sheepdog and them praising her and bringing her into the fold. Let's listen.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, political newcomer, beat a veteran Democratic Party congressional. A shocking upset within the Democratic. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, social, 57.5% of the vote. Her opponent, Joe Crowley, had 42%. Crowley has represented New York since 1999 and has been titled future Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Okay, so, she upset victory. It's not an upset victory. This chick is also a Justice Democrat, just in case you guys didn't know. She's also a Democrat. And we'll show you here shortly how we know that she's a, but she is. I want to check out. Let's check out these clips. Because I want to show you guys when Ajama when he flipped back on. Now. When he said, as a target, he said, as a target of the Russiagate BS, if you can get past Tez's unfortunate remarks, so can you. That we're not going to get over that. Then here's his, he backtracked on July 4th after the uproar, a swan's analysis of Ocasio-Cortez campaign. Acknowledged agency who supported campaign, but demand she drop the pro-immigrant Democrat post on Russiagate. Stop tiptoeing for Puerto Rico. Why are we even commenting on her views when we should just be her for the sheepdog that she is? She's a friggin' neoliberal Democrat. Aising her, what you doing, Baraka, is telling that chick she needs to be in the Green Party. Why is she supporting somebody in another party? It's ridiculous to me. Cheap dog. Okay, this is the... Now, this is the news place that Ajama Baraka... See, look on the meme reel. You see Jamo's words as a target of this Russiagate. Look, that's when he backtracked. You see that, guys? But look, we got running for Greens, and then you're sitting here talking her in the Democrat Party. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a red chat test for her primary win, Joseph Crowley, in a New York City congressional district is impressive on many levels, but the reaction of her victory demonstrates the sad state of swing politics in this country. The contradictory response, or otherwise in agreement, is the result of defeat after defeat and the lack of consensus on paradigm. The Democrats are the party of progressive years. They have morphed into a summation that differs all too little from the far-right Republicans. Motive, Crowley has the phoning in a lackluster debate performance and then didn't. Instead, he sent a council member to represent him. Now, do you not think that he was giving her this seat because his masters that we're going to see for this chick to get in, that we're not a private organization that rigs it? And you didn't even look at that, John Baraka. Well, I'm so disappointed. You are so smart. So you either in the stupid thing can make. And we've seen this with Bernie Sanders, the same mistake twice. Democrat fighting, which blamed Jill Stein and Bernie Sanders or Vladimir Putin, has been all too successful. No, it hasn't. It hasn't been successful. Successful because we are like giving in to it. If we just don't pay them no attention and keep it moving, oh, but they would have no power. Now the Democrats can't even muster a lesser of evil. Oh, but they sure can say that progressives are trying to take it over, can't they? This is dogging. And you can continue to read on your own. It says Ocasio-Cortez's inevitable position of being dismissed by some leftists because she is a Democrat. Yes, yes. Because what would break up the duopoly? We don't want to be a part of the duopoly. A Green Party exists. Why would you support the party that is you, the JB squad, Greens? We're not the, we're the varsity team. Why are we being subject to a party just because they've been around since 1829 and have been actively destroying the American fabric since 1829, might I add? They weren't on the side of free and slaves and progressivism. They're always on the side of bigotry and racism and centralization. Only one time, and they weren't trying to America. Roosevelt was trying to save capitalism, pretty much what Trump's trying to do. Don't get it. You are the enemy. Let's move on. You can read that on your own, but if you continue on, it basically Democrats pass, supposedly trying to make a non-biased assessment. But the non-biased assessment is telling the truth of the matter, that she is a sheep. She had privilege. So let's listen to the sheepdog. Well, let's listen to her because she was on Meet the Left, or excuse me, Meet the Press, because we have the show Meet the Left.
but if socialist web is the socialist web, the world socialist website is the lefty site. And for news, next to the Green News Network. Now, it says Ocasio on Meet the Press, double talk, evasion, and disavowal of socialism. So on her interview, she disavowed socialism. Let's listen. This is what she said. She said, "Well, for me," he said, "what is your definition of Democrat socialist?" She said, well, for me, again, there is so much focus on this endorsement. I also think it's important part of my strategy in winning and building a broad-based coalition of people. In other words, you just use because it's popular right now to win. And not to mention Crowley handed it to you on a silver platter on purpose so that they could run this narrative. Because they the thing in 2018. I want to listen to this one more point, and I have all these links for you guys. I think, you know, as the Schumer, Democrats are a party. You know, I'm not trying to impose an ideology on all, you know, several hundred members of Congress, but I do once again, and it's not a, it's selling an ism or an ideology or a label or a color. This is about selling our values. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like Obama's boy Perez taking his talking points word for word? But one of our great leaders, supposedly Ojama Barack, has fallen for the crap. Let's listen. Let's just listen to her even say it on Meet the Press. Here's a clip from it.
Sound you may have heard on Tuesday night was the sound of a political earthquake in New York City that was really felt more so than Washington. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a 28-year-old political neophyte, seemed to come out of nowhere to defeat Joe Crowley in a Democratic congressional primary. And Crowley was not just anyone. He's currently the fourth-ranking Democrat in the House, the party boss of Queens, and was seen by many as the next Speaker of the House if Democrats won the majority. Well, no more. It was a giant win for the progressive wing of the party. Steve Kornacki put it, as shocking as her victory was, the more you look at the changing face of the Democratic Party, the more you wonder, why didn't all of us see this coming? Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez joins me now. Congresswoman, let me first start. Nancy said about your victory mm-hmm. earlier this week. Take a listen.
They made a choice in one district. So let's not get yourself carried away as an expert on demographics and the rest of that is outside the caucus. It is not to be viewed as something that stands for everything.
She was a bit defensive. A lot of people coming at her saying your victory means a lot more than just a primary win in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
How did you react to that?
Well, there are a lot of districts in this country that are like, you know, with that have changed a lot in the last 20 years. Representation has not. And it's not to say whether someone should be voted out or voted in, but I think it definitely speaks to perhaps us evolving in our messaging and at least how we do things. So I think that, you know, I do think that there are a lot of districts in America that are like New York 14.
I'm curious if Joe Crowley had found out you were, you know, thinking about running and he called you up and said, what am I doing wrong? What would you like to see me do that would make you say, you know what, I'll stand down this cycle and see what you do?
What would I say?
What would you say to him if he had asked you for advice about how to win your vote before you decided to run against him?
I think the problem is that never happened. And the fact that that is not happening.
Meaning you never saw him in your mind. The district never saw him. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think without going too hard, because the congressman has had, you know, phenomenal service in our community, I do think that there was certainly a lack of presence. And that was a big part of my win. There was, I think, a lack of listening on the ground, the lack of going to the grocery store and saying, hey, how are you doing? And that is an important part of representation because we have a lot of work that we have to do here in D.C., but that work needs to be rooted in the communities that we have been elected to represent.
Some of your energy and some of the energy behind you and some of the energy behind the other progressives has to do with almost a tone and tactics leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, what was your reaction to Senator Cantwell's earlier today and how she described how she would like to fight on the Supreme Court?
Well, I think that what's going on is that there, especially with the Supreme Court, we have senators and we have folks trying to figure out the strategy. But in the meantime, the isn't as clear to the communities that we're trying to represent. Are we fighting or not? And I still don't have quite a...
What do you want to say?
You know, for me, you know, I'm always willing for a fight, especially when we see what the GOP has done. I feel like they're kind of gaslighting the country, where when they want to fight, when they want to bend and break the rules and stretch the Constitution to its limits, they'll do it. But when they're on the other side of the table, it's, whoa, decorum. Let's, you know.
Hold on. I think she's actually describing Democrats. What say you, brothers and sisters? Don't that sound like Democrats than Republicans? Even though Republicans are pieces of crap too, but that sounds more like a Democrat to me. Let's listen.
So do you want Democrats to borrow some of those? That, I mean, that's the tricky game here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is, two wrongs make a right.
I mean, like the consistency point. And I think from my point of view, I kind of look at it more like soccer. You know, what are our positions right now? And this Supreme Court seat is extremely serious. We have a president. There is a federal investigation going on with direct implications to the presidency. And that presidency is talking about nominating a Supreme Court pick that is going to essentially hear this case out. This is a very unusual time in this country. When is the last time that a president has been in this position?
So what do you want to?
She sounds just like crap, doesn't she? But where she get her talking points? We all know. Man, I'm going to break down how she went, because she's a Justice Democrat, too. And the Justice Democrats were Jack Exley and Cenk Uygur. Cenk Uygur was kicked off because they got him for sexual harassment or what have you, or sexual assault or something to that effect. So he's kicked off as on the board. So Cenk Uygur took money from Media Consortium, which gets its money from Media Matters, which gets its money from the Open Society Foundation. So you have her as a Justice Democrat, and I'll read some of that stuff, but let's just finish this up, and then I'll read you guys some of the stuff to show you that this Zach Exley guy is he's the co-founder of the Justice Democrats, and he is a senior fellow at the Open Society with Searle Foundation. But I'll see you. We're about running out of time, so we gotta keep it moving. So let's finish this up.
Senator Cantwell wants to know.
So I would like the Senate to delay. Absolutely. We need to delay after the midterm elections. That's my personal opinion. And I think that at the very least, we need to, if we are going to, if this appointment is going to happen, at the very least we can do is delay the timeline in which women's health care is going to be taken away, delay the timeline in which our civil rights could potentially be further eroded.
We talk about some of your policy positions, but generally, which is, first explain this to me. You were endorsed by a great headline, this millennials have embraced socialism.
Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of democratic socialist?
Well, for me, there's so much focus on this endorsement, but I also think an important part of winning was building a broad-based coalition of people, focus of the coalition. And to me, you know, to answer your question, the definition of democratic socialism to me, again, is the fact that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no American should be too poor to live. And to me, that means every working class American in this country should have access to dignified health, able to see a doctor without going broke. You should be able to send your kids to college and trade school if they so choose. And no person should feel precarious or unstable in their access to housing as our economy develops.
Some Democrats are afraid of the S word. They
yeah.
feel like that's what begins. It has older Americans hear socialism and they tie it to ugly governments
right.
from Europe and the past.
Yeah.
How do you?
I can't take it. I can't take it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And shame on you, the Socialist Party, for endorsing. So you're sheepdogs too now. Now you're a part of the Democrat Party for endorsing that sheepdog. It's disgusting. I want you to listen, okay, all you people complain, okay, oh, we hate Hillary, right? Well, listen to her on this. Listen to this. This is clip is like 30 seconds. Listen to her.
In 2020, should you win in November, in 2020, can you say right? right now that you will unequivocally back the Democratic nominee in opposition to President Trump? Meaning, if this were 2016, would it be a guarantee that Hillary Clinton would have gotten your vote?
Yeah.
Or do you first see a reasonable scenario in which that wouldn't happen?
No, I mean, I think that we're just at a moment where we absolutely have to support the Democratic nominee against President Trump, absolutely.
Oh, she would have supported Hillary Clinton, absolutely, without question. She speaks so well, doesn't she? She speaks so well. Why? Because she's an elitist. She's doing all the Democrat talking points like she's been in the game for years. Let's show you guys this quick. We're about out of time. But I want to show you guys this. This is it's interesting. Zach Exley was let's just read about him. Zach Heck, a political and technology consultant previously employed as the chief revenue officer at Wikimedia Foundation. Before that, he worked at ThoughtWorks, a global IT consultant. He is also the co-founder and former president of the New Organizing Institute, a progressive political technology training organization. He is currently part of the Justice Democrats, a co-founder. In 2004, he was the director of online communications and organizing on John Kerry's sheepdog political presidential campaign, and according to the British press reports, he directed internet operations for the UK Labour Party re-election campaign in 2005. So this dude, look, Exley was the organizing director at MoveOn.org during the group's campaign to prevent the Iraq War. Involved controversially with the Dean, because he worked for the Dean campaign.